In a literary landscape dominated by conventional romances, Chantal Tessier's madness stands as a defiant challenge to readers seeking comfort. This dark revenge romance, which has become a cult favorite among readers who crave stories that push boundaries, explores the twisted psychology of control, trauma, and obsession. Tessier's work has gained notoriety for its unflinching portrayal of psychological manipulation within the secretive world of the Lords, a society where blood oaths are sacred and breaking them means death. The novel's popularity stems not from its romantic elements, but from its exploration of how far humans will go to possess what they desire, making it a provocative conversation starter about the nature of consent, power, and redemption in relationships forged through trauma. The Lords represent a meticulously engineered secret society that transcends typical underground organizations, operating on principles of absolute control and ritualistic devotion. Their hierarchical structure mirrors ancient secret orders, where leaders embody the principles of order, rule, and divinity through a complex system of ranks and privileges. The organization's foundation rests upon blood oaths sealed through three increasingly brutal trials of initiation: the trial of pain, the trial of loyalty, and the trial of death. These ordeals push initiates beyond human endurance, testing not just physical limits, but psychological breaking points. Failure means execution, while success grants entry into an elite brotherhood bound by unbreakable vows. At the apex of this pyramid of power stand the Spade brothers, Hayden, Saint, and Coshton, whose reputation for ruthless enforcement has become legendary within their circles. Operating from their fortress headquarters known as Carnage, a Gothic mansion converted into both sanctuary and execution ground, they maintain order through calculated violence and psychological manipulation. The brothers have strategically positioned Lords throughout every level of society, in law enforcement, politics, finance, and medicine, creating an invisible web of influence that ensures their continued dominance. The Lord's influence extends deep into modern institutions, with members holding key positions in government agencies, financial institutions, and law enforcement. Their network operates through a sophisticated system of favors, threats, and mutual obligations, allowing them to manipulate everything from local politics to international commerce. Each Lord maintains a territory, complete with its own set of rules and privileges, though all ultimately answer to the Spade brothers. Women within the Lord's domain exist within a strictly defined hierarchy of their own. Chosen ones are carefully selected college seniors, groomed from an early age through a network of spotters and handlers. These women are ceremonially presented to Lords during elaborate rituals, marking their transition from independence to possession. Ladies, the wives of Lords, occupy a precarious position of privilege and constraint, bound by ancient traditions that treat them as transferable assets. Should their husband die, they become property of the organization, subject to reassignment to another Lord. The ritualistic aspects of the Lord's culture reflect their origins in ancient blood cults. Ceremonies combine elements of pagan sacrifice with modern displays of dominance. During important rituals, women are subjected to elaborate ceremonies involving bloodletting, binding, and various forms of submission. These practices serve multiple purposes, reinforcing the power structure, testing loyalty, and maintaining psychological control over both male and female participants. The Spade brothers maintain additional requirements, accepting only virgins as their personal conquests, a rule that reflects their position at the top of the hierarchy. Hayden, in particular, has become notorious for his specific preferences that emphasize complete dominance and submission, using sexual practices as another form of control and power assertion. This intricate system of power, ritual, and control creates an environment where conventional morality holds no sway, setting the stage for complex relationships that challenge traditional definitions of connection and consent. Within this darkness, unexpected bonds can form, though they're invariably shaped by the brutal nature of the world that birthed them. Hayden's descent into the Lords begins with a brutal freshman year initiation at Barrington University, a prestigious institution where old money and darker secrets intertwine. After being abducted from his dorm, he endures 48 hours in complete darkness, given only enough water to survive and no food. The isolation breaks most initiates, but Hayden's childhood training under his father's stern guidance has prepared him for this moment. The real test comes when he's forced to fight two armed men while handicapped, handcuffed, gagged, and involuntarily injected with a cocktail of adrenaline and performance enhancers that make his heart race and vision blur. Despite suffering multiple stab wounds, including a deep gash across his ribs, he methodically uses his opponent's momentum against them, eventually crushing one's windpipe with his chains and breaking the other's neck. His father, Augustus, watches from behind reinforced glass, showing no pride at his son's survival, only cold relief that the Reeves name remains untarnished. His sophomore year test delves deeper into psychological warfare. In a sterile white room, two women, a blonde student and a brunette mother, are chained to opposite walls, stripped of both clothes and dignity. The choice presented seems simple but carries layers of manipulation. Decide which lives and which dies. Augustus's subtle head tilt toward the blonde reveals the expected choice, and Hayden complies, ending the mother's life with mechanical precision. The true lesson comes afterward when his father berates him for sparing either. Women, he's taught, are breeding stock and playthings, nothing more. This lesson plants seeds of misogyny that will take root deeply in Hayden's psyche. Junior year escalates to a complex operation aboard the Lord's yacht in the Mediterranean. While hunting a lord who betrayed their brotherhood's oath, Hayden encounters a woman in a pristine white dress who catches his attention unlike any before, her dark hair and defiant eyes briefly piercing his carefully constructed armor. The doomed lord's final words, "Take care of her," seem inconsequential at the time, but will haunt Hayden's future decisions and ultimately challenge his entire worldview. The senior year culmination of his initiation focuses on permanent allegiance through ritual branding. The Lord's crest, a complex design of thorned roses and crossed swords, must be seared into the flesh above his heart. Though Hayden internally recoils at this final surrender of autonomy, he submits for the sake of his chosen brothers, particularly Marcus and Cain, who've endured these trials alongside him. Augustus's reminder rings clear: Lord, show strength or face death at a brother's hand. As the white-hot brand meets flesh, Augustus welcomes him to the brotherhood with words that echo like a curse: "For you shall reap the benefits of your sacrifice." These calculated, brutal initiations systematically transform Hayden into the Lord's ideal, a man who views violence as a necessary tool, women as disposable commodities, and emotional attachment as dangerous weakness. Yet beneath layers of conditioning and trauma, his innate capacity for loyalty and protection remains, a buried ember that will eventually ignite, challenging the very foundations of his indoctrination. The senior year culmination of his initiation focuses on permanent allegiance through ritual branding. The Lord's crest, a complex design of thorned roses and crossed swords, must be seared into the flesh above his heart. Though Hayden internally recoils at this final surrender of autonomy, he submits for the sake of his chosen brothers, particularly Marcus and Cain, who've endured these trials alongside him. Augustus's reminder rings clear: Lords, show strength or face death at a brother's hand. As the white-hot brand meets flesh, Augustus welcomes him to the brotherhood with words that echo like a curse: "For you shall reap the benefits of your sacrifice." These calculated, brutal initiations systematically transform Hayden into the Lord's ideal, a man who views violence as a necessary tool, women as disposable commodities, and emotional attachment as dangerous weakness. Yet beneath layers of conditioning and trauma, his innate capacity for loyalty and protection remains, a buried ember that will eventually ignite, challenging the very foundations of his indoctrination. Born into the Lord's society, Annabelle resents how women are treated as disposable while men are praised. Given a rare opportunity to prove her worth, she endures her own initiation test. After being unhooded at the Lord's cathedral, she's ordered to find and cut off a brand from a restrained woman or give herself one. Choosing to cut the brand from the woman's back, Annabelle is then commanded to kill her. With a gun from the cart, she shoots the woman in the head, feeling a part of her soul die with the act. Unlike most women in the Lord's world, Annabelle craves power rather than love. At 21, she remains a virgin, having been told by her mother she's meant for something greater than spreading her legs in a tub of water for all to see. She accepts her future will likely be a loveless marriage to a cheating husband, but she wants the authority that comes with being a lady. Her opportunity arrives when she receives a mysterious call assigning her a mission with 3 months to prepare. She'll need to assume a new identity as Charlotte, a therapist, complete with new friends and a boyfriend, yet must remain untouched. Her target? Hayden Jameson Reeves, a lord with carnage status who has been denied a lady. What Annabelle doesn't realize is that she's being manipulated by her own mother, Isabella, who runs an organization called Dollhouse that secretly controls the Lords. Isabella has arranged for Annabelle to marry Hudson, a man working with her mother who will eventually take Isabella's place in the power structure. The assignment to get close to Hayden is merely a step in this larger plan. Annabelle's ambition blinds her to the fact that she's as much a pawn as the women she pities, though her journey will ultimately lead her to question everything she's been raised to believe about power, sacrifice, and love. When Hayden meets Charlotte for the first time as his Lord's mandated therapist, he immediately recognizes her from years ago on a yacht, the little Miss Priss in the white dress who distracted him during his junior year initiation. He deliberately makes her uncomfortable by suggesting the only way he'll talk is if she's naked and on your knees with a gag in your mouth, causing her to flee, though he secretly wants her to return. What follows is a dangerous dance of manipulation and counter-manipulation. Charlotte persists with her assignment, determined to advance her position with the Lords, while Hayden investigates her background and plans to intensify his intimidation tactics until she quits. Neither realizes they're both being played by Isabella, who has orchestrated their meeting for her own purposes. Their interactions become increasingly sexual and violent. Hayden takes Charlotte to a medical appointment where she's subjected to humiliating examinations and procedures, including an enema that he forces her to hold for 30 minutes. Later, he transforms her basement into a torture room, restraining her with leather belts and locks while making her watch recordings of herself begging for him in a drugged state. Yet even as Hayden breaks down Charlotte's defenses, he finds himself drawn to her in ways he doesn't understand. After discovering her real identity as Annabelle Schultz, he brands his name on her buttock, a permanent mark of possession that ensures no matter who she ends up with, they'll see my mark. The power dynamic shifts when Charlotte learns the Lords expect her to betray Hayden. Given an ultimatum to bring him to a specific location or face punishment, she chooses Hayden over her own safety. Recognizing the danger she's in, Hayden proposes marriage, explaining that as his lady, the Lords can't touch her. Though initially a strategic move to protect her and defy the Lords, this decision marks a turning point in their relationship. What began as mutual manipulation gradually transforms into something more complex, a connection forged through shared trauma and the recognition that they're both pawns in a larger game. As Hayden and Charlotte's relationship deepens, the web of secrets surrounding them grows increasingly complex and dangerous. Charlotte's late-night investigation leads her to encrypted files containing surveillance footage of Hayden's past, particularly his tumultuous history with Ashton Lane Price, who is now married to his brother, Saint. The videos reveal brutal scenes of Hayden's torture at the hands of the Lords, punishment for helping Ashton escape 4 years ago. His screams echo through grainy footage as they break his bones and burn his flesh, yet he never reveals Ashton's location. These discoveries force Charlotte to question her initial perception of Hayden as merely a cold-blooded killer, seeing instead a man capable of profound loyalty and sacrifice. Meanwhile, Hayden's own investigation into Charlotte's mission reveals horrifying truths about the fate awaiting failed assignments. In a tense confrontation, William Marks, Charlotte's calculating stepfather, details the barbaric system of breeders. Women who failed to complete their missions are imprisoned in underground facilities, repeatedly impregnated by lords until their bodies give out, at which point they're quietly eliminated. This revelation hits Hayden like a physical blow, intensifying his determination to protect Charlotte despite knowing it could mean his own destruction within the Lord's hierarchy. Their dynamic shifts dramatically after a violent incident at a remote gas station. When Charlotte is attacked in the bathroom by one of Saint's men, Hayden's response is swift and merciless. At Carnage, his underground fighting venue, he makes a public example of the attacker, breaking bones and spilling blood until the man can barely breathe. While the violence is shocking, Charlotte finds herself drawn closer to Hayden, beginning to view him as her shield rather than her cage. Their physical relationship intensifies, marked by a complex dance of power and surrender, though Charlotte remains tormented by her assignment's looming deadline. The revelation about Adam Price proves to be a game-changing twist in their story. Charlotte accidentally overhears a late-night conversation between Hayden and Adam, Ashton's twin brother, whose death had been carefully staged years ago. Their discovery reveals an intricate plan spanning years, with Hayden refusing to claim Ashton not out of cruelty, but to protect both siblings from the Lord's influence. This discovery forces Charlotte to completely reassess Hayden's character and his past actions. As layers of deception peel away, both Hayden and Charlotte must navigate an increasingly treacherous landscape of lies and loyalty. The Lord's Society reveals itself to be far more sinister than either imagined, with tentacles reaching into every aspect of their lives. Hidden cameras monitor their movements, loyal servants report their activities, and even their most private moments are potentially weaponized against them. Their growing trust in each other becomes both a shelter and a risk in a world where affection is weakness and truth is a luxury few can afford. When lords disguised as police officers drug Charlotte to make her appear dead, Hayden saves her with adrenaline. The man behind the attack offers Hayden a choice: respond to a future summons or Charlotte dies. Recognizing the threat, Hayden makes the ultimate sacrifice. He ties Charlotte to their bed and leaves to surrender himself, telling her, "In a world where it's either you or me, I'll always choose you." Hayden is taken to Dollhouse, where Isabella and Hudson reveal their plan. Charlotte was meant to marry Hudson and eventually take her mother's place in the secret female-led organization that actually controls the Lords. Isabella keeps Hayden drugged and tortures him with hallucinations of Charlotte being raped while he watches helplessly. Meanwhile, Charlotte joins forces with Saint, Cashton, and Adam to rescue Hayden. During the mission, she discovers that Wesley, her fake boyfriend, was working with her mother all along. After a successful rescue, Hayden learns Charlotte is pregnant with twins, the result of Bill switching her IV at the spa to counteract her birth control shot. The final confrontation brings all secrets to light. Adam confesses to killing their fathers in an attempt to protect Ashton. Hudson is revealed to be Benny's cousin, explaining how Benny accessed Carnage. Hayden tortures Hudson for stalking Charlotte and recording their intimate moments, removing his eyes while injecting him with adrenaline to keep him conscious. In the aftermath, Charlotte chooses to legally change her name, rejecting her connection to her mother and embracing her identity as Hayden's wife. Adam fakes his death to escape the Lord's punishment, and the brothers reaffirm their bond despite the lies that separated them. The epilogue jumps 18 years forward, showing Hayden and Charlotte's continued passionate relationship. Looking at family photos around their bedroom, Hayden reflects that men like him aren't lucky. They take what they want, but Charlotte has given him a life he never thought possible. At its core, Madness explores the complex psychology of control and submission. Hayden's need to dominate stems from his traumatic upbringing in the Lord's society, where power is everything and vulnerability means death. His approach to Charlotte, restraining her, humiliating her, and breaking down her defenses, reflects his belief that control equals safety. Charlotte's journey from resistance to submission is equally complex. Initially, she submits to Hayden's dominance out of fear and necessity, but gradually finds herself responding to his control in ways that confuse and arouse her. When he brands his name on her buttock, she's furious yet oddly excited by being marked as his possession. Their relationship challenges conventional notions of consent and agency. Charlotte often finds herself aroused by Hayden's dominance despite her rational mind's resistance. This contradiction raises uncomfortable questions about desire and free will. Can consent truly exist within such extreme power imbalances? The novel suggests that in a world built on lies and manipulation, truth can only be found in the body's honest responses. When Charlotte's mind says no, but her body says yes, Hayden sees this as her true self breaking through societal conditioning. Yet this perspective is complicated by the fact that Charlotte's hormones were being manipulated through her IV treatments to make her more susceptible to him. By the story's end, their relationship evolves into something more balanced, though still marked by dominance and submission. Charlotte chooses to stay with Hayden despite knowing his darkest aspects, and he chooses to protect her, even at the cost of his own freedom. Their love remains unconventional by any standard, but within the context of their shared trauma, it represents a form of healing and acceptance. Madness presents a scathing critique of power structures through its portrayal of the Lord's society. What initially appears to be a male-dominated hierarchy is revealed to be controlled by women like Isabella, who use men as figureheads while manipulating events from behind the scenes. This twist suggests that corruption isn't inherently gendered. Anyone with power can abuse it. The novel explores how systems of power corrupt even those with good intentions. Hayden, despite his brutality, shows moments of compassion that set him apart from other lords. He refuses to claim Ashton as his chosen, helps her escape, and endures torture rather than betray her. Later, he sacrifices himself to protect Charlotte, demonstrating growth beyond the selfish mindset the Lord's instilled in him. Charlotte's journey similarly challenges the values she was raised with. Initially seeking power within the Lord's system, she eventually recognizes its fundamental corruption. Her decision to choose Hayden over her assignment marks her rejection of the Lord's authority and her mother's manipulation. The possibility of redemption runs throughout the narrative. Can someone like Hayden, who is tortured and killed, find redemption through love? The novel suggests that while past actions cannot be undone, choosing sacrifice over selfishness represents a form of moral growth. Hayden's willingness to die for Charlotte doesn't erase his crimes, but it does demonstrate his capacity for change. By the epilogue, both characters have found a measure of peace and happiness, suggesting that even those shaped by brutal systems can create something better for themselves and their children. Their home, once described as a prison, becomes filled with children's laughter, a powerful symbol of transformation and hope in a narrative otherwise dominated by darkness. Madness is aptly named. It delves deep into the insanity of a world built on power, control, and systematic dehumanization. Yet within this darkness, Tessier masterfully weaves moments of unexpected light. The relationship between Haydn and Charlotte, though initially rooted in manipulation and violence, evolves into something far more nuanced, a complex bond that offers both characters salvation from the corrupt system that shaped them. Their connection develops through small moments, shared silences, unspoken understanding, and gradual trust built in the shadows of their shared trauma. The novel challenges readers to grapple with deeply uncomfortable questions that resonate long after the final page. Can authentic love emerge from the ashes of trauma? Is redemption possible for those who have committed terrible acts in the name of survival? Where exactly lies the line between consent and coercion when choice itself is compromised? These questions remain deliberately unresolved as the story refuses to offer moral clarity or easy answers. Instead, it presents complex characters making impossible choices within an inherently corrupt system, forcing readers to confront their own assumptions about morality and redemption. What makes Madness truly compelling isn't its romantic elements, but its extraordinary psychological depth. Both Haydn and Charlotte emerge as products of their environment, shaped by layers of trauma and manipulation that have molded their very identities. Haydn's calculated cruelty masks deep wounds, while Charlotte's apparent vulnerability conceals unexpected strength. Their journey toward each other isn't a conventional love story, but rather a mutual recognition of broken parts finding unexpected wholeness together. Through detailed flashbacks and internal monologues, we witness how their past experiences inform their present choices and shape their capacity for connection. The novel excels in its exploration of power dynamics, showing how control can shift in subtle ways between characters. Their relationship evolves through stages of fear, dependency, understanding, and eventually a complex form of trust. This evolution is marked by significant moments, shared confidences, small acts of defiance against the system, and instances where vulnerability becomes a form of strength. In the end, Madness suggests that even in the darkest circumstances, human connection offers the possibility of transformation, though not necessarily redemption in the traditional sense. Haydn and Charlotte create their own definition of forever, not the fairy tale version, but one that acknowledges the darkness they've experienced and survived together. Their story serves as a powerful reminder that light can be found in the most unexpected places, even in the depths of madness itself. Through their journey, we see how healing can come not from escaping our darkness, but from finding someone who understands and accepts it alongside us.